We're turning to our Bibles again to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verses 1 through 12. Let's hear the Lord's word as we come to this passage. John 8 verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian. Thank you for joining with us, and I hope that you will be blessed today through the Lord's Word. And as we've been dwelling on this woman taken in adultery, to whom the Lord said, Go and sin no more. It's all about getting victory over sin. And that's what the Lord does for his people. We are given new power, new strength to be overcomers against every evil and every temptation. Not in our own strength, but by living the Christian life as a branch in the vine. Never forget that we are but to draw our everything from the Lord by His grace. Just as the branch draws its everything that it may bring forth fruit, it draws everything from the vine, and we are to depend totally on the Lord and constantly draw from Him. So I want to ask you, are you living the life of the branch? Are you living in total dependence of the grace that is in the Lord Jesus by prayer, by waiting on the Lord, by trusting in His supply of grace? Remember, He promises that His grace is all sufficient, and He will supply our every need. And so let's learn that lesson today, and I hope that as we go now to John chapter 8, to the story of the woman taken in adultery, to whom the Lord said, "Go and sin no more," that you will hear those words in your own heart today through his word.
We love his purity of life. We love his teachings. We love his written word, and we love his commands. We love the promises that he gives to us. We love the fellowship with his people. And when something attacks the name of Jesus, it's a jealous love. I have to say it. When you're born of God, you are a new person in Christ. There is an inner jealousy that rises up to guard the Lord. That's why you don't want false worship. That's why you don't want to be an idolater. That's why you don't want to break his commands. You want to be in fellowship and in step with the Lord. Now, three times the Lord spoke to Peter about his denial. And I know Peter comes up a lot in preaching, but what kind of a minister would I be if I did not commonly refer to Peter? Because of the marvelous recovery that he enjoyed in his life from a denier of the Lord. But the point of his recovery was all about his love for the Lord Jesus. When the Lord interviewed him and said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" Three times, "lovest thou me?" And that's the question. And that's the power of the gospel, that every true Christian has an inner, amazing love for the Lord Jesus. And it's that love in our hearts that empowers us. And it enables us to say no to everything that denies the Lord. And it enables us to strive after those things that bring glory and honor to his wonderful name. I hope that you are being described as I say those things, that that's real in your life. Whatever your walk in life is, at home, you want your home to be a place that honors the Lord. Raising your children, you want to check those things that are contrary to the grace and the goodness and the love of the Savior. When you mingle with the ungodly and you hear their blasphemies, it deeply grieves you. It offends you. And that's what enables this woman guilty of sin, to go and to sin no more. And this love grows deeper and stronger with the years of Christian living. And that's the great marvel of it. It's not just a thing of a day and a sudden little conversion that lasts for a flash in the pan, but it strengthens, it grows, it deepens. And if you can say today you love the Lord Jesus, surely you love him more now than ever before. "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign." And that command, "Go and sin no more," was with the conviction of Christ's love within our heart. And you know, it answers all the accusations of the world and all the contentions of the world. I have this amazing inner love of the Lord Jesus. I was reading about a man called Joe Barker, famous both as a Christian, as an infidel lecturer in turns, one of those, Mr. Face Both Ways. One day he could say that he's a Christian, another day he could deny it all. And he thought that he had abolished the Bible and demolished Christianity. And one day in his lectures he asked for anyone for something that needed to be explained away. And there was a man there who was a workman, a miner. He spent his years underground in the filth of a mine. And he spoke up and he said, "Explain me," he said. "Up to 9 months ago, I was a swearer, a drunkard, a wretched husband, as my mates will know. And 9 months ago, I went to a little meeting place and accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And my mates will witness to the revelation in mouth, life, in home, in mind, during these 9 months." And that Mr. Barker had to admit the fact of the change, but declined to explain the cause. That man Barker died in a foreign place. And through the testimony of that miner, found mercy with the Lord. You see, your life tells an amazing story. This love of Jesus in your heart, you may not be able to expound it nor explain it. You may not be able to communicate it fully, but others will know that you have been with Jesus. And that's what we see in the life of this woman to whom the Lord said, "Go and sin no more." So we've had the principle of go and sin no more. That's the first thing. Cleansing first, then victory over sin. And then we have seen the power, the love of Jesus in your heart. We come now to the purpose to go and sin no more, to be Christ's witness. A witness of the Lord's mercy. What a great story this woman had to tell. And it was all about this man, Christ, who threw out the challenge, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone," and whatever he wrote on the ground, causing the men to walk away. And then he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." What mercy this woman found. For that woman to go back to her old life would be a denial of the mercy that she found. And that's what happens when professing Christians should dare to go back to the world. They deny the mercy that they have found. Imagine some subject to a king who committed a crime, was brought before the king and mercifully pardoned. And then he went out and he did the same thing all over again. And he was hauled back before the king to give account. The king just might forgive him a second time. But if he was to continually go back and commit the same crime over and over, he would eventually stand before the king and hear the word condemned. He would be lost. Now we as Christians today find mercy in the Lord. And we are commanded not to go back, but to go and sin no more. That mercy is a powerful thing. And we, each of us, have been dealt with in great mercy because we were guilty. And we now have this wonderful pardoning power. Now, there was a purpose in this to go and sin no more, in that she would cease from the misery of sin. What misery this woman was brought to. Ostracized by men, by society, her own inner guilt and shame. But here we today are talking about her going and living a new life, of gaining a new testimony, She was the talk of the community then. But if she went back to her old life of adultery, acting as a bad woman, flirting with men, she would be no witness to the power of the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that's why you and I are called to godliness. We are called to the gospel, which is according to godliness, to live after the character and the likeness of God. And for that, we need grace and we need power. And we need to delight in the Lord's command, go and sin no more. Now also, she was to enjoy the meaning of life as a gospel witness. We have every reason to believe that this woman went on to live a happy life. If she was married, she may well have been restored to her husband. She had been forgiven by the Lord. No man had condemned her. She may well be restored. And if she had children, she may tell them the story of her sad failure, but of the marvelous forgiveness of the Lord. What a victory. What a story. And each one of us today have such a story to tell. Then also, to purity for heaven. Let's face it, our gospel is a gospel of purity, and it calls us to a holy vocation. It demands that we love righteousness and hate evil. And of course, the moral law is our fixed position. There are some that teach that because you're under grace, you're no longer obliged to keep the law of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. You are saved not to go back to sin, but you are saved to get the victory over sin and to live in a new way that will bring wonderful honor unto the Lord Jesus. Now, it's unreasonable that anyone would take out of this marvelous account that this woman would go back and break even one of the Ten Commandments. It's unreasonable to think that. And so it is a very mark of the godliness to which the Christian is called. And of course, it is preparation for that great day when we will enter into glory. Is that how you're living your life? I don't know what eats up all your time and your energy and your efforts in life. I know life can get awfully busy. And sometimes we try to carry three buckets instead of two, and we end up tripping and spilling and getting ourselves into trouble. Life has many demands upon us, but the goal, the mission of every believer is to make each day count for eternity, that we live a new life and bear a new witness. And for this woman, this command was not optional. Take it or leave it. No, it was a command. Go and sin no more. There is no excuse for staying in your sin. The problem is not it's too difficult to turn from it, but rather the problem is that you love it too much, and therefore your heart is drawn to it. But here we see that there are no exceptions to be tolerated. And this is a call to action. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, if you're not saved, the first step is to come to the cross. Come to Calvary. Come to the place where Jesus made that redeeming sacrifice, where his blood was poured out, that your sins could be canceled. We sang the hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And that's the starting point for you. You can't call yourself a Christian. You can't say that you're right with God. You can't say that you're even in the way until you've been to the cross. And so I take this marvelous example and lay before you the claims of the gospel that you trust in the Lord Jesus. And then to go and sin no more. So what are you doing with the Lord Jesus today? Don't walk away. These men, I wonder what their future was. They saw themselves under the law. I wonder about the other guilty party. What was his fate? Again, condemned, walked away, couldn't stand the light. And it tells us in John 3 that evil men love darkness rather than light. Therefore, they turn away from it. But you and I must come to the one who is the light of the world and who gives us his so great salvation. So I want to leave you with these words ringing in your ears and in your heart. Go and sin no more. Maybe there is some sin that you need to break off. Maybe there is some habit that you know is dragging you down, that's robbing you of victory in your life. Maybe there is some sin of omission, something you're not doing, something you've given up, and you know that because of not fulfilling that duty, that you're failing, grieving the Lord, and it's robbing the victory in your life. I call you to flee to the Lord and to serve him with all your heart. And if you are a lost soul today, that you will come and be saved. And if I can help you, if I can sit with you, talk with you, pray with you, open the Bible with you, it would be my delight to point you the way of salvation and to say the very same words. Go and sin no more. But firstly, go to the cross. That's the victory ground.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
What a great thing to live a life of victory over all sin. And that's possible through the cross, the blood of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. One night when Mr. Moody was leading the singing and Mr. Sankey was playing the organ, Moody looked over to Sankey and said, "Excuse me, I see there a friend coming into the meeting. I offended him today downtown, and I want him to forgive me." Mr. Moody walked down from the platform, and the other man got up from his seat and walked out into the aisle and met Mr. Moody about halfway and said, "Mr. Moody, I forgive you heartily." Moody went back to the platform, and an eyewitness said, "I never saw such a meeting. It was wonderful." That is why God so richly used Mr. Moody. He kept a conscience that was void of offense toward God. And that is a key ingredient to living in close fellowship with the Lord. And if you confess your sins, your follies, your shortcomings, and seek to be right with God and men, there is victory for you. There will be peace in your soul, there will be joy in your heart, and you will live for the glory of God. What about it? Will you give your heart to the Lord today and begin this new life, this life of true resting in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's my exhortation, my plea with you today. I beg you to come, put your faith in the Lord Jesus as your very own personal Lord and Savior. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon Him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040, and I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email. Let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through His Word.